Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Dave Mbako. I'm from DRC Congo. I'm part of the board of SCF, and I'm very delighted to share the word this afternoon. We are still in the campaign, the CG campaign about generosity. And over the last 2 weeks, Pastor Dale has reminded us about giving is intentional and joyful and not pressured. And another thing that he said last week is that money can't bring certainty. It's only God who can bring that certainty. So today we continue, we move on from learning about generosity to seeing it in action. And we will take an example from the book of the Philippians. We will see at the church, this church of the Philippians, and see what Paul has to say about this church and also his heart. And we read in Philippians 4, verse 10 to 20. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you did not have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthened me. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulties. As you know, you Philippians, this is now addressing the Philippians. You Philippians were the only one who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gift you sent me through Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And now, all glory to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. This is one of the letter of Paul, and this he was addressing to a church, the Philippian church. And this is a letter that most people call it a thank you letter. And you know, at this time that Paul is writing, is in prison, is in captivity in Rome. But this letter is full of joy. He's really expressing his joy. You know, he's at the place where he's in chain, but his letter is giving another message, not a message of sorrow, of sadness, but is a message of joy that he is giving. So after all the encouragement and teaching, Paul pauses to thank them. And he brings everything together in one place. And this is the message of this letter. He talks about contentment in Christ and joy in giving and the assurance of God's faithful provision. These are the things that Paul wants to address on this last part of the letter. He begins by praising the Lord for their generosity. Yes, and he says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have been concerned for me, but you did not have the chance to to help me. And before Paul speaks about the generosity, he lays a foundation. He lays a foundation, and that is about contentment in Christ. And so we need to see what can we learn about contentment in this letter. What is Paul addressing in here? I will talk about four truths about contentment that Paul is talking about. One thing that he said, that contentment is learned, is to be learned. And Paul says that he was not born this way. He was not born content. He says that I have learned to be content. You know, notice that this is about learning. It means that it's not automatic. It's not like something that I was born with, or it's not like part of you, like this is a birthmark. It's not like that. He says, like, I have learned. It's something that you need to develop. It's like a muscle that grows through the help of the Spirit. It's not something that he came on this world knowing how to be content. He had to learn. And for a matter of emphasis, he said it twice. He said, I have learned. And then later he said, I have learned the secret. Because you have to learn. Contentment is something that is learned. It means like he wasn't always this way. He wasn't always this way. God trained him through experience, both in lack and in plenty. And this is a lesson that we should also learn. This is a lesson that he came when he was writing. He also said it's something that they should learn and even teach. You know, we just observe the kids coming. You know, a content life is a powerful witness. A content life is a powerful witness. And you know, for parents, it's also a way of showing the kids how to be content. You know, God has given us influences on area. You know, contentment, a life of contentment is a powerful witness. You will be able to influence others. God has given us many occasions. He has given us influence wherever we are. And we should use our influence well. And using our influence well is also giving, is pouring this content life to others. It's not about someone who's very discontent coming to you and say that somehow lining up all his discontentment, and you said, wait a moment, this is also what I have. Or you start pouring all your discontentment. Discontentment is a powerful witness, and we can use our influence to draw, to pour our contentment. Amen. Matthew 5:14-16, he said, this is Jesus saying about the light, like you are the light, that you should show your light so that people will see. He says, as you are the light of the world, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So contentment can be something that can be contagious. It can be contagious. He's saying that. Number two, contentment. When we see here, we see that contentment is for every season. Contentment is for every season. He's making it clear that his peace is not limited on one set of circumstances. It's not contentment only on one set, on a certain time. Contentment is for every season. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living where? In every situation. So contentment is for every season. It's like your mobile phone is portable. Contentment is portable. It's like you are moving with it everywhere. In plenty, you are moving with it. In lack, you are moving with it. In singleness, you are moving with it. In marriage, you are moving with it. You are going with it. Contentment is portable. It's something that you move with it. It's for every season. Not only when things are low or when only things are up, but contentment is something that you move with it every season. Amen. And we see that the contentment that you are talking is not attached to any circumstance. It's attached to the trust in God. Is attached to God. The prophet Habakkuk modeled it very well, and he declared that though the fig tree does not bud, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Meaning that in every situation, even the situation where there's no fruit coming, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Season change, but the source of our contentment must not change. Season change, but the source of our contentment must not change. And you know, this is whether we are blessed like Abraham or challenged like Job. We should remain content. Our mindset should be like of Job. That Job says in chapter 1, verse 21, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This mindset is what we should have. Amen. Contentment number 3 is remembering that everything we have belongs to God. Contentment is remembering that everything belongs to God. He said it in verse 18. He says that I have all I need and more. I have all I need and more. Paul can say I have all I need and more because he knew that he was not the owner. He was not the owner. He was just a manager. And he saw that even the gift that was given by the Philippians, it was not a gift from them. It was a gift coming from God. Even the gift that came from the Philippians. We read it as the First Chronicle 29:14 that declare, everything comes from you. That is God. Everything comes from you. And we have given only what comes from your hand. Amen. It means like everything comes from God. The life that we have comes from God. It's a gift from God. The house that we have is a gift from God. The work that we have is a gift from God. The family that we have is a gift from God. Everything that we have, the resources that we have, is a gift from God. I would like to turn to your neighbor and say, what you have is a gift from God. What you have is a gift from God. You have to believe it. Sometimes we forget that. You know, when we truly grasp that everything comes from God and is for God, it changes how we think. It changes how we think. Once we grasp this knowledge that everything that we have belongs to God and is for God, it changes how we think. It changes from ownership, from becoming owners to becoming managers. This is what he says. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have that you did not receive? I like the easy version that says, you receive from God everything that you have. It is all a gift. Paul knew this. And the Philippians, they knew this truth. You know, in the past sermons, Pastor Dale read to us 2 Corinthians 9:8-11. And he said that, it is God who supplies both the seeds and bread, and he enriches us so that we can become generous on every occasion. So this is what we, contentment is remembering that everything we have belongs to God. Number 3, finally, contentment, what we see here, contentment is Christ empowered. You know, Paul understand, Paul's reveals his ultimate source. And he says that, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. He recognized that his strength, his source of contentment is Christ. The secret to be content is not a willpower. It's not a do it yourself. It's not a DIY. It's something, the strength comes from Christ. He recognized that his ultimate source is Christ. Contentment is possible because the strength does not come on situation, does not come on anything, but it comes from Christ. And he recognized that. My grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You don't try harder to be content. What do? You lean closer to Jesus. He provides both the perspective and the power. As Barry Cooper said, we are like a weaned child resting in Christ's arm. He doesn't understand everything, but he trusts the one who holding him. Christ himself is the environment of our contentment in Christ. This is what Barry Cooper said. And Jesus said the same thing. He said that, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And he said, he concluded and said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's where the source is. That's where the source is. That the source of our contentment, just as Paul has acknowledged it, that the source is Christ. Amen. So, one thing that we can learn here is contentment is learned. This is what also Paul is talking. Contentment is learned when generosity is practiced. Contentment is learned when generosity is practiced. So now let's look at what he's saying about generosity. I think we will have 3 points that he says, like when we're reading, he says, like, generosity starts in the heart. Generosity starts in the heart. It starts first there. It's not starting from the hand. It starts from the heart. Giving begins in the heart before it reaches the hand. It is first a matter of the heart. Generosity begins in the heart first. And the Macedonians, they proved this. They were not rich. It was not a rich church. Paul even is telling us that they were in severe trial and in deep poverty, yet they overflowed in rich generosity because it was something from the heart. He said it, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given in the Macedonian churches. And when you hear Macedonian churches, Philippian was part of the province of Macedonia, and this is part of Europe. And in the midst of a severe trial, this is number one, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So generosity is not about the hand, it's about the heart first. And these people, they proved that they were poor, but they were overflowing joy, rich in generosity. So they did not give because they had much. They gave because they loved God, because they trust him. This is how they gave. So generosity is about the heart first, before reaching the hand. So number two, giving flow from love and gratitude. Paul adds and said that they gave first to the Lord. They gave themselves first to the Lord. That is the secret. Before the money leaves their hands, they had given themselves to God first. Before they give even any donation, they have given themselves to God. So gratitude, generosity flows from gratitude. And the scriptures remind us that each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, because generosity starts first in the heart. Why? Because God, this is A.W. Tozer that says, God measures giving by the love it expresses, by what is inside, not by the amount that it contains. It's not about the amount. It's first a disposition of the heart. Because, you know, you can love without loving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. It's impossible. You cannot love without giving. This is what he's saying. And Jesus also gave another good example. Jesus himself, he highlighted this to point out to a poor widow. He watches as richest people were passing to come and give offering. Then came a poor widow. And she gave only 2 coins. And this is what Jesus said next. I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all others. She, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. She gave it all because she loved God and she trusted him to care for her for the rest. She gave sacrificially. And Jesus says, like, she gave more because she gave out of love. she gave out of trust that God will take care of me. Now, you give with your heart. And that is very incredible. Number three, that we learn about generosity. Your giving can go a long way. That's one thing that he's also saying. Your giving can go a long way. One thing that I see here. Because if you try to see about what the Philippians has done, what they have done, you see that they have been following Paul all the time that he was going on different places, and they were giving. They were giving and supporting his ministry. Your generosity spread the gospel far beyond you can see. Beyond you can see. You cannot even see. Just as this Philippian, they didn't just help Paul. They entered into a partnership with him. They did not just give it to him. They entered into a partnership with him to spread the gospel. So your giving advances the kingdom. Your giving advances the gospel. They saw their giving as participation in the advancement of the gospel. This is how they saw it when they were giving to Paul. So when you give, you help the gospel travel further than you've ever traveled. This is every offering becomes a spiritual seed, plants in places where you never see. This is what we can see here. The Macedonian gift helped the gospel to reach places like Thessalonica, like Rome, and even beyond. The gift that they gave to Paul, it reaches all these places. So they were not there. They were not going with him. But the support that they kept on giving him, it reached all these places. This is what he says, your giving can go a long way. It can go a long way. And we see that your giving impacts people. Just think of Paul. Just think of Paul with the Philippian. The Philippian, they supported him. They lifted his burden. They helped him. They supported him to continue with the mission that God has given him. So your giving can impact people. Just like Paul, who was impacted by the support that he received from the Philippian church. It can go a long way and produce many, many, many things. And it can change lives. Paul says in Romans 15:26, he said, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. This is what he says. Like, their giving could go a long way. It went very far. Their giving supported others too. It made an impact on others. This is what giving and generosity does. And Jesus himself, when he came here, Jesus had some women next to him who were helping him. We read in Luke 8:1-3, it says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Your giving can go a long way, and it makes an impact. Just like their giving could help Jesus to bring the message from village to village, from town to town. It will make a difference. Sometimes we don't see it, but this is what is happening. It's happened to Paul. It's happened to Jesus. And it's still happening. That's giving makes impact on the gospel, the advancement of the gospel, but also on the people that it touches. So it reaches farther and touches more people. You know, one thing that I've observed when you go to funerals, At the end of someone's life, what remains or things that people remember is how this person loved people and how he loved others. So on everything, just at the end, when you are there, one thing that remains. I think Paul also said that there's one thing that will remain is love. It's love for God and love for others. And this is what it's saying. Your giving can go a long way to advance the kingdom, and it can make impact on other people. Amen. So there is another thing that we learn about generosity is like generosity provides what money cannot buy. Paul responds to the Philippians with a promise. He says, "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." He adds and says, "I want you to receive a reward for your kindness," in verse 17. Let me give you 6 benefits that generosity provides that money cannot buy. You get joy, freedom from greed and materialism, a sense of purpose and significance, a rich relationship and community, and divine provision and inner peace and security. These are the things that even if you have so much money, you cannot be able to buy. It is only generosity that will be able to provide. It's generosity that will provide this lasting joy. It's generosity that will provide this inner peace and will provide this divine provision. It's contentment is learned when generosity is practiced. So let's see few practices. A few takeaways that we can take from here. You know, in Jesus, Paul recognizing that the source is Jesus. You know, in Jesus, the Philippian could give generously. And Paul could be content in Jesus. So how can we practice this about these two things that Paul was pouring to the Philippian? Number one, we can celebrate what I have. I can celebrate what I have. I can celebrate what I have. When I choose to celebrate what I have, instead of lamenting what I lack, I embrace the joy that God has placed in my today. Celebrate God. Celebrate him from his provision. Enjoy the blessing of today. Enjoy the blessing. It is very important. Number two, be ready and available. Be ready and available. When you see a need in others and meet them, you not only give them joy, but you also experience joy for yourself. These people, they were ready to give. They were available to give to Paul. Be ready. It's important. Don't wait too much. Take initiative. And number three, one thing that I saw in this text for our contentment and generosity mindset, we have to declare that I have all I need. Daily, I have all I need, and that is Jesus. It is important that we shift the mindset from I need more to I have all I need, and that is Jesus. I have all I need. This is what you do on Monday. This is what you do on Tuesday. You do it every day. You said, I have all I need. And that is Jesus. Because Jesus is the best of all the gifts. Amen. He's saying that I have enough. I have enough. And Jesus is what I need. It's moving from if I only had, I will be content to because I have Jesus, I can be content. Because I have Jesus, I can be content. Because I have Jesus, I can give. You know, earlier on I spoke about your giving can go a long way. And I have an image that I would like to end with. And this is the church where I grew up. And this church was built by people who have never been to this place. They've never been. It's people who are in the U.S. putting money together so that this church can come. And they could not see what they were doing. But your giving can go a long way. And this is what happened. You know, this man that is on the left, he took, this is like our Paul. This is our Paul to the Philippians. He's called Mr. John Springer. He came and he shared with the money that he could gather. He came and they built this. And that's one on down there. That is my great grandfather baptism. Is through him, through the giving, through the generosity of this man, through the generosity of the people who put something. The things have changed from generation. I'm fourth generation in my great-grandfather. And from all the line, this influence that this man had, he made sure that the whole people who were under his care to also be baptized. This was the first one. And all the people were around. He said, like, you should receive this message. Your giving can go a long way. This is what we are talking about. That's when you give to the gospel, when you give to the church, when you give to the work of God, it goes a long way. Sometimes you might not even see, but it's making a big difference. It's making a big difference. And the Philippians, they knew about it. In their severe trial, they continue to give, and it spreads. To Thessalonica, it spread to Roma, it spread, it's continued. Even today, the giving of Philippians spreads even today to Shanghai, because we are reading on Paul. It means that he's never lost. He's never lost. Every act of generosity is not lost. He's never lost. It has an impact. It has an impact. And we are very grateful. So you might even ask me, Where can we start? Where can we start? Start with the poor. Start with the church. And start with the gospel. Whenever you hear, do like the Philippian. Do like the Philippian. It says like they were pressing each other to give. This is the generosity coming from the heart. You don't know what it does, but it does wonders. It does for me today. Preaching the word because some people donated for Raz to hear the word. You never know what generosity can do. And there is a promise if you do that. Paul, he says, God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He's never lost. God will take care of you. God will take care of me when we answer the call. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We are so grateful that even before everything, you are the most generous. That in your generosity, you've come to save us. God, and as we heard this word, maybe you're stirring something in our hearts. That any discontentment, we coming and lay it at your feet. We pray that God will be a church that will answer the call, just like the Philippian, knowing that all we have belongs to you. And sharing with others through this generosity. So may your Holy Spirit work in our hearts to have this heart like the Philippian, like of Paul. We love you, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.